if I'm wise at all, it comes from God. One bit that God has made clear to me is that spiritual growth and maturity takes deliberate effort. That is, you don't just one day understand and embrace the gospel for yourself and that's it, you've arrived. Now you just have to show up at church regularly and try to be a good person. That's not it, by a long shot. Hebrews 2:1 says, "So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it." I have found that I can drift away quite a bit if I'm not actively participating in one or more activities that push me to keep learning more about God, about His Word, and about what He wants for me and from me. Each one of us here, right now, all of us, are on a spiritual journey. Some of us are seeking God. Some of us are digging down to know Him better and to become more like Him. And some of us are just resting for a while. It's the resting phase that is the problem. Spiritually, there is no status quo. There is no arriving and then you're there, you don't have to do anything anymore. If I am not digging down into God, I am drifting away. Spiritual growth and maturity involve at least two aspects. One is private, the other is communal. Privately, we need to make time regularly to get quiet with God, opening our hearts and our days to Him, using the Bible or a devotional guide. And I've brought a couple devotional guides here. This one you can get here. This is a book that someone gave me, and I love it. It's called Jesus Always. Or you could use the Bible. You could use the hymnal to focus your thoughts. For me, the best time to do this is in the morning, but I also set aside some time at bedtime. And this is when I pray for all the people that God has put on my heart. It takes deliberate planning to get to bed and to get up in time to fit it in. The communal aspect means committing to some group study of the Bible with others so that we can chew over what we are reading together and check in to see how are we getting on with God. This is a study called Transformed that I've done recently with the women's group on Thursday morning, and it was excellent. Okay, one of the benefits of doing this is, besides growing in faith and faithfulness, is developing relationships that grow into friendships. Now, if this sounds like too much of a time commitment for you, you could find at least one other person to be your prayer partner. And that's sort of how I got started, sitting at the kitchen table with Karen Gill more than 45 years ago. Keeping at this for years has taught me that God can be trusted to get me through the tough times. Repeatedly, He has used different small groups, both here and in the wider church, to uphold me through life's storms and to draw me back to Him. I have a clearer view of where to look in His Word when I'm looking for hope and discernment. I've been reminded of His character and His faithfulness. I've learned that my pain and anger have not been too big for Him to handle. Friends have listened to me and prayed with me and prayed for me. I believe I've grown in compassion and love for others and that I am where He wants me to be, doing the work He has prepared me for. I'd say that right now, God is leading me to work on becoming less self-centered. As I've been looking at it, self-centeredness is a form of pride, never a good thing. That is, focusing on myself and what I think would make me happy means that my stuff is more important than anybody else's. But most of the day-to-day stuff that I deal with is not about me. It's more about God and how I fit into the plans that He has for others. Here's just one little example of how I see this working. My granddaughter Madison, who is 7, wants me to play school with her for the 15th time this week. I am really tired of playing school. But we play school. And I'm a good student while she is the teacher, the substitute, the bus driver. Sometimes I get taken to the principal. Madison is in the process of working out how life works. God wants me to be part of that process and to slip Him into it as well. So the wisdom that I can share this morning is to tell you to be deliberate about setting aside time to be with God, both privately and with others, in a Bible study or a discipleship group. God wants us to worship Him because He alone is worthy of our worship, which is why we're here today. More than that, though, He wants us to know Him and to love Him. That takes time. More time than we have here on a Sunday morning. I'll repeat Hebrews 2:1. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Don't be a drifter. Be deliberate. It really is worth your time.
Well, speaking about wisdom is daunting. I've never considered myself a particularly wise person. I'm a little too impulsive, a little too sensitive, and sometimes just a little too goofy. So when I considered what I might say about wisdom, I immediately thought about some gems of wisdom that have helped me in my life. For instance, I recall with such love my mother-in-law saying to me, "If you don't know what you're having for dinner by 4 o'clock, you're in trouble." Or when discussing a curfew with your children, remind them that nothing good ever happens after 11 o'clock. I would consider these examples worldly wisdom, good advice, important things to remember. Well, one of my most cherished bits of wisdom is from my dad, and it is, "People are people, and they will disappoint you, but God will never disappoint you." This is perhaps more what I would call godly wisdom. When we look at wisdom in the Bible, I think it's safe to say that the book of Proverbs is full of godly wisdom. It is a mixture of advice, wise sayings, and practical tips, with a splash of humor right alongside serious warnings. But really, the passage of Scripture for this morning is dealing with wisdom in a way that is different from both worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. It is what I would call spirit-revealed wisdom. Lisa and I did not talk at all about what she was going to do this morning for the children's sermon, and this is just an example to me of how the Lord works. I came to know Christ when I was 5 years old. My dad led me to the Lord in our kitchen as I knelt in front of a bench to our kitchen table. I prayed a simple prayer, asking Jesus into my heart. I was happy, and I knew I had done something important. My mom and dad were happy, but I was 5 years old. I knew I was saved, but my conversion was not dramatic. For many years, in fact, much of my adult life, I felt almost embarrassed about my testimony. I was just a little girl. My story was rather boring. Hardened criminals probably would never relate. I felt like I was somehow missing out on a more exciting conversion story. It wasn't until about 10 years ago that I was reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, our text for today, and starting at verse 27, this is what I read. "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." My eyes were opened. The Holy Spirit had revealed to me that my youth, inexperience, innocence, and faith were so precious. As a five-year-old, I could easily have been perceived by the world as foolish, weak, lowly, despised, nothing. But in coming to faith as a child, I was able to accept the salvation story easily. Jesus died for me. Nothing I did bought my salvation. It was all him. I just had to believe, and it was easy to believe as a child. I am so thankful now that I never struggled as an adult to believe and accept what Christ did for me on the cross. And in the same way, I cannot boast in myself and brag about a dynamic conversion or what an amazing life I'd lived doing all kinds of important works. My boasting is that Jesus loved even me, a small 5-year-old, on her knees, asking him into her heart. So while my salvation story is linked with our text for today, it is really the revelation found in the very next chapter that allowed me to understand all of this. The wisdom that Paul is speaking about is a spirit-revealed wisdom. In chapter 2, starting at verse 10, it reads, "These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given." The Holy Spirit is our teacher, in addition to being our comforter. When he takes up residence in our lives, he will open our eyes and reveal deep truths that we might not otherwise have seen. This message was so important for the Corinthians that Paul was addressing. They were educated, powerful, articulate debaters who were always looking for a good discussion of lofty things. Paul made it clear that the wisdom he was speaking of was not the wisdom of the current culture, but a wisdom that comes from God, one that is hidden from individuals who believe they are wise in their own eyes and revealed to those who are earnestly seeking the mind of Christ. Every day as we pray, we can ask that the Holy Spirit will fill us with all wisdom and understanding. He will reveal mysteries and teach us how to live according to God's will for our lives. He will indeed give us the mind of Christ.
The word wisdom to me means knowledge that is beyond question. It is like oxygen. You can't see it, you can't feel it, can't smell it or taste it, but is undisputably real and life-giving. There is an earthly wisdom, something like street smarts or a popular opinion, which is effortless and fleeting. But wisdom from above, God's wisdom, is God's truth, which becomes our truth, that is infused in us by his word and our faith in that word. His wisdom is something we need to ask for through prayer and discernment through listening and meditation. For me, especially in the past 5 years, I have acquired a reverential trust in God's will for my life. God spoke to me through loved ones in my life in saving me from my destructive patterns. He backed it up with scripture sent to me out of the blue in unexpected ways. To quote Abraham Lincoln, "I have been drawn to my knees many times by the overwhelming conviction that I had no place else to go. And now I know that I know that I know there is no other place to go that will avail any lasting results." My wisdom is that the more I depend on God, the more independent I become. It is a freedom from myself. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Jeremiah 29:11. God uses that scripture over and over and over again, so much that I had it tattooed on my ankle. The night that my dad passed away, I just laid there and prayed. I knew where he was, but I asked how I would make it. And when I woke up that morning, that was the scripture in my devotional. I have come to trust his plans. And while his plans are not always my plans, I have always seen in hindsight that his plans work for my peace and his glory. To me, wisdom is the application of experience. And it sometimes is so difficult to follow the guidance that I've prayed for. As a mother, I know I try to impart wisdom to my children, but I know the best and only thing I can do is pray that God gives them the wisdom. I cannot teach wisdom. It is acquired through their experience. I can pray that their wisdom comes easier than mine. This past month, especially losing my dad, God has proved to me over and over again that he is my peace. Prayer and meditation are my lifelines, and faith has saved my life, and that he has blessed me more than I deserve.
Thank you for sharing, Nancy. You are a hard act to follow. A couple weeks ago, I happened to be out with some friends, and it ended up being trivia night. We were there. It was free. We said, why not? We also looked around at the other tables. We were older than them. We're pretty smart people, and we were like, we got this. We felt very confident. Needless to say, it didn't go so well. Random column of knowledge, we did pretty good. Music, sports, not so much. On my way home, I chuckled to myself because I was already working on this talk, and I was like, oh, I should have known better. How foolish of me. Just because someone is older doesn't necessarily mean that they are wiser or smarter. And often we think we have all the answers and know what's right, and we don't. So last week, Pastor Tim had actually talked about sometimes it's in the least likely person or circumstance that we may see or find something. Since I was asked to speak about wisdom, there has been one little girl from Guatemala on my heart. My first thought of her is, she gets it. She understands God's wisdom. I am not sure that I ever actually met her. She is in one of the videos that the director shows us about the ministry there. Her identity was hidden for her protection, so she may have been somebody I interacted with. I will never know. She appears to be maybe 11 or 12, not very old. And in the video, the director, Corby, is interviewing her. The first question is, how did she come to Oasis? Her father had abused her. Later in the video, Corby asks her, what is her dream? And you see her fidgeting with her hands in her lap. Her dream is for her dad to follow God, for him to be forgiven for all the things that he has done and that she has forgiven him. It immediately caught my breath hearing that. This little girl had not only found Jesus, she got it. She was so filled with the Holy Spirit to have that level of forgiveness, understanding, and wisdom. Her dream is for her father, her abuser, to follow God. So simply stated, for him to know Christ like she knows him. She understands all that God has given her, given to us. This, for me, has been a prime example of God's wisdom and power. True spiritual wisdom can only come from God, and it's always meant for good, to redeem us, not to cause harm. This little girl's life has been redeemed. She has a personal relationship with Christ and is filled with the Spirit to know and understand God's wisdom. We may not always know what God has planned for us. We don't have all the answers, but we don't have to. God knows. We just need to put our faith and trust in him. We need to read his word. We need to pray. Have that personal one-on-one relationship with him, and he will reveal his wisdom and continue to go before us. A book I was recently reading has prayers throughout it, and one of the lines from it that I've taken and have started praying daily, Abba Father, take me by the hand, lead me with your wisdom. Amen. Thank you.